Eve, agus Falchuk, Jean, Clark, come and Luke, last game, a shock to the show to meet Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And as always, hope you can stay with us. Coming up on tonight's programme, we're going to be joined by John Lynch, the former Tyrone defender, of course, an all-star back in the 80s. And we'll be also joined by Donegal Ireland winner and corner forward, Manus Boyle. And we hope to be joined by John Harn later in the programme as well, a former Donegal player and, of course, St. Junan's player, still playing. John is training tonight, but we hope to join him. And, of course, our focus tonight is on the Championship and the start of the Championship season. Of course, Donegal and Tyrone get the Ulster Senior Championship underway with a preliminary to Ulm tie in Sean McCool Park on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock throw-in for that one. And, of course, it's Donegal versus Tyrone in the Minor Championship preliminary round as well. High hopes for Donegal in both those games. I'm sure John Lynch and Tyrone have other ideas. Donegal going in as defending champions in both the senior and the minor championship. So a big crowd expected, 17,500 tickets, so a sellout venue, sellout game. And of course you'll hear it live here on Highland Radio with Oisin Kelly and Brendan Kilcoyne. We'll also have live coverage on the minor game as well. That's Donegal versus Tyrone with Oisin Kelly and former Donegal minor manager, Ulster Championship winning minor manager Sean Clark. And but as I said, the big game this weekend, of course, is that Donegal-Tyrone championship game. This championship action in two of the other provinces this weekend as well. You have in Leinster, it begins on Saturday night with Offaly versus Longford in O'Connor Park and Tullamore. And you have Carlow versus Laois in Cullen Park. Those games are both on Saturday evening. And on Sunday in Park Sean McDiarmid in Carrick and Shannon, it's Leitrim versus Galway in the Connacht Senior Football Championship. Galway already have a game played in that Connacht Championship. They defeated New York pretty comprehensively, 218 to 8 points on the Maybank holiday weekend over in Gaelic Park in New York. But the Connacht Championship race getting up and running in earnest this weekend as well, with that Galway Leitrim game down in Carrick and Shannon. Indeed, just looking at the fixtures and something, looking at the championships, and well, you've got 6 games in Leinster, 5 games in Munster, and you have got 10 games in Leinster, 5 games in Munster, and 6 games in Connacht, and that's including London and New York. I suppose it does highlight something of an imbalance, and I know that's a big discussion, a big debate in the provincial championship. Not sure what you can do about it, because a lot of people fall dearly to their championship. But when you think, consider Donegal or Tyrone are going to have to play on Sunday, the winners of that play Armagh in the next round, and the winners of that actually play Derry or Antrim before they even reach an Ulster final. So it's a pretty long road for who is for Donegal or Tyrone, both of them setting out, as I say, on Sunday afternoon. Well, to look through those games, as I said, coming up, we'll be hearing from Manus Boyle. Hope to be joined by John Harn, former Donegal player and St. Junan's player as well. But I'm delighted to see him joined on the line by, well, Tyrone All-Star defender from the 1980s, John Lynch. First of all, John, a very good night to you.
No problem, thank you, welcome.
And, well, first of all, John, before we talk about Sunday's eagerly awaited clash of Donegal and Tyrone, and I know great excitement here in Donegal ahead of that game, and great interest, and obviously a great level of expectation, and I'm sure equally so in Tyrone, more so, I suppose, after the under-21 victory over Tipperary, and indeed that Ulster final victory over Donegal a number of weeks ago in that Ulster under-21 championship final. But first of all, John, setting out this year, okay, as we said, we've had Galway in New York in that annual excursion to the States for a Connacht side, getting the championship up and running a couple of weeks ago. But it's getting underway in earnest this weekend. And as we head into this year's championship, how would you describe the state and the standard of football? I know there's a lot of criticism and the styles and the systems and the blanket defences. And what's your thoughts on all that?
I would take more of a the view I would have on it when I look at football. I still be entertained, Tom, no matter what. You know, a lot of, especially like, I went to a fair few matches this year with throwing, you know, McKenna Cups and national leagues, and I have to say, Tom, I was still entertained in a lot of the games. You know, I just think nowadays there's so much scrutiny put on matches, more so than what about years ago. Like, Tom, I remember when I was 10 years ago, some of the games that we played in, I'm telling you something now, Tom, they weren't probably great to watch either, you know. And the, you know, at that time, there wasn't much, as I say, scrutiny put on them. You know, the level of skill mightn't have been as high as nowadays. You know, there's more. There's obviously more thought put into the game nowadays. Obviously, you know, it's, well, we're always, at all times, we're out there to win, but, you know, to win the match nowadays, it's what it's all about, and players and teams are set up in certain ways to counter-react teams and play certain systems and whatnot. And so the scrutiny's there, Tom. Everybody's talking about it, and if there's negativity going on there, well, people's going to, you know, the pundits are going to latch on it and talk about it, and gets everybody talking, Tom, really. And
yeah,
if you really boil it down into a game of football, Tom, there's loads and loads of great skill involved. You know, still, you know, all the skills of the GA is still there, the great catching, the tackling, the movement forward. It's all there, Tom, but just I just think we're buying into too much of the pundits telling us about how rubbish this is, and I don't buy into it, Tom, honestly. I still think there's loads of entertainment when you go out there, and what do you see this year when it starts again? Entertainment's going to be there.
Yeah, well, I suppose... I know there are certain aspects of the game maybe we don't like, and you know, the certain aspects, and you probably as a good fielder don't like it when you maybe land down and there's 5 or 6 men around you, and you seem to be pulled and dragged, but somehow the referees seem to order free against you. I think that's a bit of harsh justice, yeah. And maybe something should be done about that. But you know, there have been poor games in the past as well, and I suppose the crowds are going to the games. That's the justification that maybe it's not as bad as Joe Brawley and Pat Spillane and others seem to think.
No, I don't think it is, Tom. These boys, these boys just love to hear themselves talking, really. But like, as you said about high fielding is still a problem, right? Whenever that, like, see, as I'm saying, but the managers and stuff will focus on things they get. Maybe if they look at a player and they see that he is a high fielder, well, you know, they'll tell the lads to get around them. Don't be giving them a chance to release it. They'll obviously want it. So, yes, there is maybe something talked about bringing in a mark or something. Something they get possibly, but. I still think, Tom, if you look at the matches, like, you take, for instance, your own kind of Donegal, when you watch what they've done over the past 2 years, like, every single player they have, Tom, has got an amazing level of skill right now, whereas that wasn't there in the past, Tom. You know, players back in my day played it. Like, when I was playing cornerback, Tom, if Fard McCrory got me near the halfway line, he'd hung me, like, you know, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. So players have been able to express themselves better now, and I think it's making for a better spectacle to watch it. Like, obviously, when teams set themselves up defensively, and you know, whenever the ball starts to pass around, it's basically just passed across and back over again. That's boring to watch. Of course it is, but unfortunately, Tom, you know, it's the defensive thing is here and it's here to stay. And that's the way they have to deal with, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably evolving like all other sport games, like soccer, and I know
exactly,
there's a big European Cup game on tonight, and I'm sure it'll be quite tactical, and there'll be systems in operation, and as we've seen in the rugby, in the Six Nations, and in the World Cup, it's all about systems, and that's the way sport is involved. Tato Igeistha Gleeson Clark, come on, Luke Clask, Gaelic Shachtana, with my special guest John Lynch, our former Tyrone defender and All-Star as well, and we'll be joined shortly by Manus Boyle, Donegal All-Ireland winner and of course a columnist with the Donegal Democrat, and we hope to be joined later in the programme as well by John Harn from St Junan's, who also played with Donegal in Championship football. One other issue before we move on to find out what the mood is like in Tyrone and what the expectation level is like in Tyrone. One other issue that has raised its head, I suppose, this week is an allegation of a young player in Monaghan who was trying to break into the senior squad of taking performance enhancing substances, or that's an allegation anyway. I think maybe he has put his hands up, but in innocence didn't realise he was taking something. What's your own experience, or have you come across that, or is it something that should worry us?
I suppose, Tom, we should be concerned to an extent that it's a wee bit than just what we talked about. You know, teams setting themselves up to improve their setup. Players, unfortunately, Tom, will try to, you know, players and sportsmen will always try to better themselves whatever way they can, you know, and unfortunately, not so much possibly in their own game, but, like, if you take, for instance, cycling at the minute, like, you still hear reports that 90% of participants are still taking some sort of enhancing drugs, and, see, that's a worrying fact that's still going on, and, like, I was involved in athletics myself for years, and, you know, I've sort of lost sort of heart with athletics, even track and field athletics, but you kind of don't know who's on enhancing drugs right now. So it is worrying, Tom. I don't know how rife it might be within our own game, but I know for a fact that, like, I heard Michael Murphy talk about, you know, the supplements that they would be taking nowadays, you know, for recoveries and whatnot. So, you know, everybody's sort of looking and buying into something that'll make them maybe make them recover after a heavy session and stuff. So then you start worrying about what they're taking or if they know what they're taking and what's in it and, you know, is there side effects and all that kind of stuff. So it is a worrying trend, Tom. But how rife it is with our with the GA right now, I couldn't tell you, but it is to me.
You're not. There's no suggestion in it that Michael Murphy has taken any of the supplements that he's taken.
No, what I'm saying is Michael talked about it.
Yeah.
But they'll be taking, you know, supplements for recovery and stuff. They're all totally legal, but I'm just not saying Michael Murphy. I'm saying every footballer that's training hard and any sportsman that's training hard is taking some form of supplement that'll help them recover. You know.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the game. Looking ahead to Sunday's game, what's the mood like in the O'Neill County? They have a poor record against Donegal in recent years, and I'm just wondering. I noticed after the Ulster Under 21 final, where Peter Canavan was reported as saying that after that win with the Under 21s, that it was time Tyrone clipped Donegal's wings. Is that the general mood in the O'Neill County?
I didn't hear Peter say that, but it's not his style to say something like that. But it's time that Tyrone, maybe if we're capable of doing it this time, we did win a match, you know, because this is obviously our third in a row for Donegal, and it'll be hard to take, Tom, if we go and lose another one. But it's going to be a tough task for us, you know. The memory of the league match is still there with us. I don't know how we recover from that, but. The mood in Tyrone obviously would be still. People would still feel quite confident that we could do it. You know, the law of averages sometimes make way on our side, but realistically, Tom, you know, judging on recent performances, you know, in the league, you know, as opposed to what, you know, the performances that Donegal have produced.
Yeah.
You know, we seem to have a lot of work to make up to get to where we should be, you know.
Donegal, I haven't seen the odds this week, but I suspect Donegal are the favourites, and a lot of people are going on that league game. But, you know, the funny thing about when we look at the Tyrone record, and I know I suggested it before to Kevin Kelly that maybe Mickey Hart was trying to lull us into a false sense of humour with that performance. But, you know, as Rory Gallagher pointed out last week, Tyrone drew with Dublin, drew with Kerry, beat Mayo, teams that Donegal and only lost to Cork by a point, and Donegal actually only got 1 point from their games with Kerry, Dublin, and Mayo. You know, like I think maybe we people are looking too much into that performance against Donegal. You know, from a Tyrone point of view, and maybe there is a fear here in Donegal that maybe there's a certain element of being lulled into a false sense.
Well, I don't think it's a style to actually do something like that to go and tell the lads to take the foot off a pedal and let Donegal show us a wee lesson. No, I don't think that happened, but I'd agree with you, Tom. I went to quite a few of the games this year, and there's some of our performances were very good, excellent performances in some of the games, you know, but we still ended up winning one game and drawing another, something like that. So, the results didn't really show up too much. Our performance-wise, we played fairly well in some of the games. Maybe only for half, and you know, one half, and maybe. I remember the Monaghan match where we were running away with it, and then in the second half, the lights went out and we just disappeared. So when I look at that, you start wondering what's going on with them, why are they doing these kind of things, and that was sort of repeated right through the league. You know, our performances were up and down, so, you know, the question has to be asked, are we there, do we know we're there, do we know what the team is? All these questions obviously aren't, in my opinion, answered yet. Unfortunately, you know, we're taking on the All-Ireland beating champions, beating All-Ireland finalists from last year, and
yeah,
it's not going to be easy. You know, the questions aren't answered yet.
I know from speaking to you that you rate this Donegal team quite highly, don't you?
I do at this stage, Tom. I think they've matured into a better team, possibly even when they won the league. You know, or won the championship a few years back. I keep repeating about the class of Michael Murphy. You know, he's one of, like, I don't think there's very few teams at the minute have a player of his capability. Anyways, he's possibly the best player around him, and I'd imagine, to me, he's number one in Ireland at the stage. He's a killer player that can just produce anything, Tom. And we talked about before about how teams set themselves up and stuff. You know, no matter what you do on the team, when you have a player like Michael Murphy who can produce magic, you know, he's quite capable of winning any match of his own, and maybe in the space of 10 minutes he can do it, you know. So, and right throughout the team, the lads have all, Donegal team have, in my opinion, they're more mature, they're better players, they're strong players, and they've added quite a few young lads there now, which makes them better. So I'll be concerned about them on Sunday, in fairness now.
Tato Gaisla, Cleishan Clare, come on, Luke Laskiller, Shachtan, and Shaw, meet Tom Cormack, John Lynch there, of course, all-star defender with Tyrone, and delighted I'm joined by Manus Boyle on the phone as well, of course, All-Ireland winner with Donegal. Holds the record of kicking 9 points in an All-Ireland final, Manus, and apologies for keeping you on the line. Didn't realise you were there for so long. First of all, welcome to the programme, and I look forward to the big game on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Good evening, John. I would sit a while and listen to John Lynch anyway for so long. You know?
Yeah, especially when he's at that safe distance.
No, I'd have to agree with a lot of what John has said, Tom. Donegal are probably in a better place than they were 4 or 5 years ago. Jim McGuinness has, you know, legacy has produced a lot of good players. Where I think Tyrone are probably in a transitional period, where they still have a lot of good players, but that unity that they had in the 90s and the noughties, you know, they don't seem to have that at the moment, and it's probably missing now. I would probably think in the years to come, with many of that under 21 side who had a lot of exceptional players, I think when they get the basis of that through, I think, you know, you'll find that they'll come back stronger again. I just think, you know, it's Donegal's time. This last 4 or 5 years they've just produced it, and as John said, they've matured and they're very good footballers. And you know, the things that hindered us in the past, where players might be away having a good time or enjoying themselves and maybe not fully concentrating on, you know, the job in hand, that doesn't seem to be a problem now. And you know, I would think that if Donegal don't win on Sunday, it'll be more of a surprise than if Tyrone beat them.
Yeah, but are you ruling out a Tyrone defeat at this stage, or a Tyrone win at this stage?
I wouldn't be foolish enough to rule out anything from Tyrone. As I said, they have the players, and I've just talked about it in my column this week, Tom, where I believe that Tyrone can still beat the top 4 or 5 teams in the country on their day if they produce it, and there's no saying that they won't produce it on Sunday. But I do think if Donegal play anywhere near to the level they can play, I think they'll be exceptionally hard to beat, because, you know, as you talked about it earlier on, it will be a very defensive game from both sides.
Yeah.
Donegal are no different. And I just think with the likes of Murphy, Paddy McBrady, the possibility of Colin McFadden, you know, that we probably have more potential scorers than maybe Tyrone have at the moment. You know, they're heavily dependent on McCrory and Sean Kavanagh, you know. So, you know, I would see that as a major factor and why Donegal should win, you know.
What about that, John Lynch? In terms of Tyrone and in the last three meetings, they have struggled against the Donegal defensive system. I think 10 points is the most they've scored. Have we lost John Lynch? I think we may have lost John Lynch on the phone. We'll try and get John back.
Hello?
No, sorry, John. Sorry, we haven't lost John Lynch.
Still here, Tom.
Manus mentions that obviously it's going to be a pretty defensive game, and both teams are going to play pretty defensive. But the one area that Tyrone seemed to have struggled against, for me, and I'm watching them, and I think it's a general feeling, that they've struggled to break down this Donegal defensive system big time in recent years. I think 10 points was the largest amount of scores they got in any of those last three championship meetings.
Well, I suppose Jim had mentioned something, an interview Jim had given about his reasons why he thought Donegal possibly had beaten us, the fact that he felt that they were physically stronger than us. And I would be inclined to agree with him, especially in the forward line, Tom. Like, we don't have forwards apart from maybe Sean Kavanagh, with physique that we talk about, Murphy and even McBrady, the strength and physique that them lads have. We have, and Manus has just mentioned the likes of O'Neill and McCrory and O'Neill and Michaeliski and them lads. Them lads are all good, good forwards on their day, but getting the ball into them, Tom, is the problem, you know, and like, if you bring these lads out in around the 50, we're not getting scores from them, and they're walking the ball in, and then they're easily bottled up, and the defensive system that Donegal have, we didn't, especially in the league match against and down in Balbuffet, we just could not cope at all. And I suppose the point is that I was actually surprised that match went ahead in Balbuffet, because I didn't think we'd get a dress rehearsal there in the match. But Tom, when I was sitting in the Cool Park in the league match, I just realised why the match was there, because Donegal are nearly impossible to play against in that pitch. The way their system is so well set up in that pitch that it's nearly impossible to beat them, especially when they set up defensively the way they do. So I would be concerned. I would definitely be concerned about our scores, how we're getting our scores from that position. And as Manus had said, like, when we're reliant on the likes of McCurry and I was saying O'Neill and them boys, like, they only can score, like, they're not going to be scoring from 50 or 60, 70 yards, you know, they're going to be scoring inside, so getting the ball inside is going to be the problem.
I know Mickey Hart intimated, you mentioned this to me before, and you felt that Tyrone should probably move out of Garvahy and maybe train somewhere else. I know Mickey Hart intimated on Monday night on UTV with Pat Kinney that probably one of the reasons for moving from Garvahy was that it is a wide open area and was maybe a free of spies coming in from Donegal to watch them. But I think your theory, I know the move to Drumrah and then to Dungannon, I think maybe your theory may be more to the point.
Maybe so. It's not so much that I don't think Balbuffet is much smaller than most pitches. I think it's more the closed-in feeling that you get when you're in there. Like, And it's not, I don't imagine it's much smaller than any pitch, really, but Garvahy, you're up in a wide-open mountain there, basically, and it's like playing, like it is playing in a big wide-open field. And
yeah.
You do, Tom, you do need to have that sort of dress rehearsal of being in that cauldron of a pitch, and possibly that's where Mickey was thinking. And I'm glad that I wasn't sure he heard that. I heard that wasn't sure it was true or not. So I'm glad that he did, you know, because...
Yeah, well, I think there may have been a spy or two up around Drumrah some night when they were up there. I don't know if you heard that story, Manus, or not.
Oh, it could have been.
Yeah. I'm sure there were spies around in your time as well, wasn't there?
There was an odd one going, yeah.
Looking.
Just one point I would make, the way that the Tyrone under-21s played against Donegal, and maybe it was taken from the fact that Donegal, both their under-21 team and their minor team have taken on what the seniors do. In the Ulster final match, Tyrone attacked Donegal down the wings.
Yeah.
And it was very noticeable that when... the big men, the Donegal big men, were pulled out of the middle, that Tyrone, the pace of Tyrone was a wee bit too much, you know. And if there would be an opening that I would see, because we have a number of players that wouldn't be as mobile, maybe as the likes of Sean Kavanagh and players like that. So that would be the only worry I would have, that Tyrone would take on what Fergal Logan and Canavan and Duhar done with the under-21s against us in the Ulster final, you know.
Yeah, but before we ask you maybe what you feel the possible lineups, because we haven't seen either team yet, I certainly haven't anyway. I think Donegal team is to be announced tomorrow night. I'm not sure about the Tyrone team, but Donegal, and I know John Lynch, you've been highly involved in development squads in Ulster or in Tyrone as well, or in recent years, and I think you probably managed this year's minors in the Buncrana Cup. Donegal and Tyrone in the minor championship, the curtain raiser. Donegal again going in, probably as favourites here.
Talking to me, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was involved with this team at one year when they were
playing
in the 16 team we played. 30 years ago, we played Donegal at the first round of the Buncrana Cup that year, and you know, it's time we beat them and beat them easy. But unfortunately, Donegal, from a Tyrone point of view, Donegal seemed to have got their act together in that team, and by the end of the year, they beat us in the Buncrana Cup final. And really, Tom, since Declan has taken over, they seem to have gone from strength to strength. You know, and it really does show when you really like, and you can make the same point about Tyrone under-21s. When you get a bunch of people together and get a good organised team going behind the scenes, you can really make things work for a team. And Declan has obviously done that with last year and this year. The Tyrone team, obviously, I'm not saying we're not well organised, but I'm looking across at Donegal and I can see how well things have been done there. Things have worked, and you know, I've heard an interview with Declan on how many people he has involved and covering every bit of glass that needs to be covered there. But the Sean team still, in my opinion, Tom, have loads of nice footballers. You know, the team, a couple of lads that have been involved, for instance, in Macquarie Cup this year with the academy, like young Clinton McClure and Carmick O'Hagan and young Colin Kilpatrick. Them boys, they're all you know, fairly good footballers. Like, so, we still have a good enough team, but I still fancy a Donegal team the way they're playing. Like, they won the league easy there. So I'd be concerned again for the throne this match as well.
And Manus, Donegal Miners, I know, speaking to a few people during the week and indeed speaking to a few of the players as well, Jim McGuinness may have raised the bar for at senior level, but Declan seems to have raised it in the last couple of years, as John was saying there, at minor level as well.
Well, anybody that knows Bunner will know that. I mean, he has his time for messing around, and then he has his time when he does his work, and when he does his work, he leaves no stone unturned. And you know, I think he's learned a lot from his days managing the senior team, and he's brought that organisation through to minors. And minors wouldn't have really have come up with that, you know, come up facing that from until they would reach the likes of Bonner. And it would have to impress you. And I would have been very impressed with the way Bonner ran the whole show last year, very organised, talking to Owen Bann here in Killybegs. You know, nothing was left to chance, you know, players' injuries, whatever players required in order to get back to their best, Bonner done it, you know. And I just know the type of Declan would have been disappointed with losing in last year's All-Ireland final, and he would want to come back and prove it again that there's a minor title in Donegal, you know.
And what do you make of this year's team? There's a talk, the chat, that maybe they're a better team than last year.
Well, I suppose with minors, Tom, it's a chance, and as John said, I mean, when they played at under 16 level at the start of the season, you know, they hammered them at the end of the season. You know, they're a different side. Minors can be different. You can win minor leagues and then be knocked out in the first round of the championship, like we were in 84, you know. So I don't think the league counts for much. I think players are nervous. You know, it might be a kick of a ball, maybe a referee's decision to go your way, and that's what gets you over the line. But I just think Bonner will have them well primed, and I would have to say too that Donegal football is on a surge at the moment, and that sometimes helps. It gives players belief, and that can get you over the line, you know.
John, just back to you briefly. Any idea of the Tyrone lineup? And I know we're running short on time here, but
I would imagine, Tom, now there wouldn't be a lot of changes from the league. I'd imagine that defensively there's still, you know, the likes of you know, Justin McMahon, McCarron, McNamee, you know, Peter Hart, them boys, they'll all be there in the defence. Midfield, I don't know really. You know, Sean Cavanagh or Colin Cavanagh obviously be there, but I don't know. Like, you could see maybe, you know, McShane coming in there. McShane had played a role for Tyrone in the league at midfield.
The under 21, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you could see him coming in. Hopefully, I think he should be in there somewhere, but midfield, he played a role in midfield in one of the matches, so maybe him and up front. It's hard to know. Again, the names you mentioned, O'Neill, McCurry, Michaeliski, Sean Kavanagh, them players are all going to be there as well. So I can't see a lot of changes from the league, Tom, in fairness. Like,
John, unfortunately, the clock has beaten us. My thanks to Manus Boyle as well. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford on sound from the GA programme. Until next week, Slán agus Bannacht.